I'm Sam, and this is Illegitimate Scholar, a dissident anthropology podcast that has social studies questions not permitted by mainstream academia. Here, we make sense of the senseless perception of the world crafted by modern humanities. Remember, you are human. Okay, so today we're going to talk about cultural diffusion, which is basically just how cultures spread. So when cultures spread, beliefs, ideas, traditions, technology, all these things spread out, and they tend to come as a package deal in a lot of cases. And that's why when people adopt Western technology, a lot of their people end up being fat and gay. Well, this is McDonald's diplomacy. We won the Cold War with capitalism. Affecting the way that a population interacts with the world is the most foundational and effective way to make them do whatever you want. This is relevant today in a lot of ways, but there's also ancient examples, and we're going to talk about both ancient and modern examples today. I'm going to do this by going over types of cultural diffusion and giving examples from specific cultures for each. At the end of this, you'll know why Hungarians speak an Asian language, even though they're white, and why Harvard and Yale get to decide what everyone who wants to have a 9-to-5 job has to pretend to think. Join the Discord because we talk about stuff like this. Okay, mechanisms. So there's indirect, direct, forced. And these are basically like how the diffusion actually happens. And indirect, you can probably guess. Indirect, this is a natural spread. There's no direct contact. If somebody writes a book, that book gets carried on the Silk Road. You know, this is probably how Gutenberg invented the printing press. Through a lot of Asian technology, Chinese technology coming across the Silk Road into Germany. This is mass media in America, social media, YouTube. Okay, so direct diffusion is things like trade, migration, and warfare. This is where people are actually mixing. And then there's forced diffusion. And forced is a type of direct, but it's specifically when somebody is forcing themselves on others. And this is like, you know, enslavement, colonialism, cultural assimilation policies. At different times in history, there are various different things. You know, Indian boarding schools are examples of this. Obviously, transatlantic slavery, Islamic slave trade. Great example, nationalist movements of the 19th century. They were really into this. There used to be, I talk about this a lot. If you've listened for a while, you've heard me talk about this. But, you know, there used to be all these great subcultures that were very pronounced. They had their own languages. Prior to the 19th century, they'd survived for centuries and centuries, millennia. Brittany, Galicia, Catalonia, which is still, Catalonia is still there quite a bit. I mean, these places are still distinct, but they lost their language, which is the key. And I will eventually do that linguistics episode. But forced diffusion. Now we are getting into the actual five different types. So the first one is expansion diffusion. And this is from a cultural center, central location expands outward. The central location is the core and it remains the core. So it's a place that becomes a hub of culture, spreads out from there. So there's the Bantu expansion. This is an example of that. In Africa, the Bantu peoples, they were in West Africa and into a little bit of Central Africa. And over the last like 1,000 years, they spread out quite a bit and displaced a lot of other people. And there are still wars going on today between Bantu and other groups. And there's lots of ethnic wars in Africa and many other places as well. They're common. They're much more common than you realize unless you listen to Illegitimate Scholar or Stone Age Herbalist. Roman Empire. They did this with warfare, just like with the Bantus. The Bantu did it with warfare. The Roman Empire, they used their laws, roads, tech. They spread out. They expanded their culture. Some of this was direct. You know, they were enslaving a lot of people. Some of it was just with people Romanizing by choice, being conquered, you know, just accepting that this was the best way for them to move forward. And this is often, it's often not direct. It's often just, you know, they incentivize it. And cultures that can adequately incentivize people to join their culture and to expand their culture do very well. You see this in things like the Islamic expansion, which is my next bullet point. Okay, great. And they expanded with warfare. First off, just like the Roman Empire and the Bantus, but also trade networks, adoption of religion through incentivization. Polynesians are the only one that didn't really expand with warfare out of this list that I have. And they mostly came to islands that were uninhabited, but they did have their fair share of warfare and they were an expansive culture and they did have this, you know, within their own tribes. A lot of these islands aren't as small as you think they are. So they do have different groups that are at odds with each other. And there is the terrible story of what the Maori did to the Moriori, which you can hear about in episode 42 with the Stone Age Herbalist and on his Substack. So there's a common thread here, right? It's warfare and then adoption through incentivization. So you use both of these things. But this is expansion diffusion. This is spreading outwards from a central hub. Next one is relocation diffusion. So relocation diffusion, this is the physical movement of people, not just migration. We're going to get into the details. It's when they move somewhere and share their culture. And this is a two-way interaction. So, you know, there is a group that comes from their old culture. They move into a new place and they, you know, affect the native population and the native population affects them. Examples: Irish, Italian, and other diaspora peoples. They bring food, dance, religion, very common. In the other direction, North American police and fire departments often adopt Celtic dress and instruments for ceremonies. Buddhism. Buddhism spread. It is heavily associated with like a lot of different cultures in Southeast Asia, East Asia, but it is originally from India and it spread to all of Asia. Different styles. There are different styles of Buddhism everywhere. Famously, the Burmese Buddhists are quite violent, especially compared to other Buddhists. Relocation diffusion. Another one, the Vietnamese influence in the U.S. And when I'm talking about Vietnamese, I guess I should say specifically that I'm talking about the South Vietnamese people that fled after the Vietnam War. So these were people, and this is often true, is that they were part of a population, the Vietnamese, but it's a sub-selection of the population. So these Vietnamese people were selected for a specific thing. In this case, it was for closeness to the colonial government, likely having capitalistic right-wing tendencies because they were fleeing a left-wing government. And this is true of many different things. I mean, it can be for a specific location, religion, or ideology where a group of immigrants comes from. The Irish Catholics generally came to the Northeast. That's why I'm here. And Scots-Irish Protestants generally went to Appalachia much earlier than the Irish were coming in. There's an oversized Basque influence, which is a region in Spain. In a lot of the Spanish colonies in the New World. So hierarchical diffusion is when things are first adopted by the elite and then they kind of trickle down. And maybe they don't trickle down as much as people claim they do. So this kind of works on a spectrum. The richest and most connected to the most exclusive things get it first. Billionaires and then their friends get it. And then influencers catch on to this stuff. Like rich influencers see like Kim Kardashian wearing something. And like, unfortunately, you can judge a society by what it praises, and our society praises Kim Kardashian. This is what happens. Unfortunately, those are the elites. Those are the top in our society, is these types of people that I don't really personally have a whole lot of respect for. So ideas also spread out from elite universities. You know, I talk about this pretty often. So the elite universities at the top, they spread ideas outwards, and they have the most prestige. So everybody has to think like them. They have to not say the wrong thing. Academia works this way. Technology. The rich and the powerful get the best, and then cheaper, and, you know, down the line, people get more stuff. You know, iPhones, people get the newest stuff. It's a virtue signaling thing. Oh my God, look at my status. I have an iPhone. Oh my God, you have blue text. You suck. I got the ick. That type of shit. Religious practices. Islam in Asia is an example of this. In Asia, Islam spreads with trading and boats. People are incentivized who want to be part of this trade economy that's so synonymous with Islam. And so they convert to Islam. And then the richest people are Muslims in these places. And that's what it's like in a lot of places in Asia, is that, you know, and eventually sometimes that spreads even wider. It's a hierarchical diffusion thing as the elites convert. People convert lower. And this is how populations were converted over time, you know, a lot. It's not like, you know, when the Protestant rebellions happened that everybody simultaneously in some Holy Roman Empire duchy just all decided that they were going to be Calvinists now. All consecutive, 1,000 of them just are, oh yeah, now we all at the same time. No, it didn't happen like that. Okay. Social customs. Woke PC culture type of thing we talk about here all the time is a contest for people to signal their adherence to cultural values. And this is why when you see a corporation, they just seem so over the top with the woke, because it's so concentrated, right? Because it's up at the top, because they got like vice presidents and presidents and the people at the top of these places, they went to elite colleges like Harvard, Yale, Stanford. They went to Ivy League plus schools. And then they network with other people like them and they get jobs for other people like them. And this is how they retain power. So social customs are huge because it's a way for people to signal to other people that they have the right beliefs, that they are safe with them, that they believe the same thing, that you identify with the same things. Many times in history, a foreign force rules over a foreign people. That's a weird way I wrote that. This is basically the norm. Okay, so a foreign people will come in, they will take over a place, and they will act as the elites in that area, and they are ethnically different from the local people. Normans, Anglo-Saxons, Britons, Roman Britons, and that's four examples right there I just half hammered off. And that's just England. This was true everywhere. This has been true for a long time. The Mongols were they had all sorts of different places. I mean, they were ruling over China at one point. They had most of India at another. They were ruling over places in Eastern Europe. The Mongols cannot go into the forest. That's really what stopped them. If you got to eat grass, you can't be in the forest. So sometimes this affects the culture. Obviously, always it affects the culture, but there's a two-way street here again, okay? So two-way street. So you have, in a situation like the Magyar ruling class in Hungary, when they're ruling over the European people, and this is 1,000 years ago, they do all start speaking this Asian language, and they still do, and that's why Hungary and Finland are the only two countries in Europe that are not Indo-European languages. So it's one of those weird things. But the ethnicity is unchanged. I mean, Hungarians, don't tell Hungarians this, but they're generally not able to be distinguished from the groups around them. They're not distinct ethnically, which is fine. But it's not fine if you're an ethno-nationalist, which, there are some of those. So Norman ruling class, Manchu dynasty in China. The Manchu dynasty in China was after the Mongols were way earlier, after a few. There were a few actual Han Chinese dynasties in there, but the Manchu dynasty famously made the Chinese people, the Han Chinese people, wear a Manchu haircut. It's a point of shame. They couldn't wear their Han Chinese haircut, which is a way that this is a forced type of diffusion. So contagious diffusion. It's rapid. It's widespread. It's very common in the modern world because you can put out a video and if it appeals to people for some reason or someone in the right position wants it to be seen, it can be seen by 1 billion people. I mean, it's rare for that to happen to that extreme, but it's not that rare. Like, you know, people that you know right now have probably told you, oh my gosh, I posted a video of my cat on Instagram and it got 1 million views on Reels. Like, that just happens to people randomly. That's crazy. Okay, it's crazy. It's insane. If you stop and think about that and you think about how we're anatomically the same as we were 300,000 years ago, at least. That's the most modern estimate. 300,000 years ago, at least. That same anatomically modern human can just go on their little device and post a freaking, how do you describe a video? I digress. So viral trends, TikToks, planking, slang, fashion trends, stimulus diffusion. Stimulus diffusion is cultural borrowing. It's syncretic. You're sharing your culture together. A culture adopts an element of another culture within their own cultural context. So the Algonquin Native Americans broke down copper kitchenware that they got from 17th century English people, and they took that and they turned it into arrowheads, and they put them on the edge of their arrows. And those copper-tipped arrows, they were able to punch through this thick padded armor that 17th century English people wore. It was because they got more velocity and they had more punching power. The Japanese writing system is based on Chinese, but it's modified. African-American music, like jazz and blues, was created on European instruments, but altered with African-American culture and traditional, like, African-American, African beats music. And then it was, they made something new and awesome. And then, guys like Elvis, some people might say he stole it, but really he did the same thing. He took it, altered it. He did make a lot more money than them, and a lot of those artists got screwed over, but a lot of the white artists were getting screwed over too. Music industry is not very good. So these are just some of the ways that anthropology has decided to help us understand how human culture changes. They are not definitive. They are themselves culture.